Well, it is good for me to be back here today. I'm telling you. I was telling somebody, I was telling you in the first service, in over about 40 years of ministry, I cannot remember missing my church 3 weeks in a row. I caught you guys online, but, you know, it's not quite the same. It really isn't. I had a little bit of vacation time, gone to a church general conference that we were part of, and then in the tail end of all of that, COVID tried to catch me, and I had a mild case of it. Praise the Lord for that. I think it decided that it was getting the worst end of the deal when it bit me, so it let go real quick, and so we're glad to be back. Missed you guys, and it's just really great to see you here in the Lord's house today. All of our guests, first-timers, and we already welcomed you, but again, just glad that you're here. Some of you that maybe hadn't seen in a while, glad to see you here today. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever thought about what it is in your life that if you were to accomplish that it would bring you a real sense of purpose, a real sense of success? That it would bring joy, happiness, fulfillment, contentment in your life, that if you were to do that thing, that maybe that would be the greatest thing to happen in your life. That would be what would make you great, if you accomplished that thing. You know, when I say things like that, here in the American culture, you know, we believe in the American dream and the American success story, and so we think that the thing that would make us truly great, the thing that would make us truly satisfied, happy, filled with joy and contentment in our life would be if maybe we got the next job, the next promotion, the next raise, a little bit more money, maybe move to the better neighborhood, whatever it might. Those are the things that we think of, you know, in this world of social media. Maybe you think that what it would be is if I had, you know, attention, I had a following, if I had more likes on my Facebook page. How many of you check how many likes? Don't raise your hand. That you get on your Facebook posts. Because we're looking for recognition, we're looking for something that approves of us and says that we've arrived, that we've done it right, that we've been successful, that maybe we've achieved some level of greatness. Well, what if I was to tell you that one thing that would really make you great, that one thing that would really bring the most success to your life, that one thing that would bring you the most joy, the most happiness, the most fulfillment? Jesus told us what it is, and it's the same for every one of us in this room today. And the thing that would truly make you great, here it is, you ready for it? Is to be a servant. Well, I really built that up for, like, what? To be a servant? Come on, Pastor Tommy, you got to be kidding me, really? I was looking for something that was really going to make life. You want me to be a servant? You think that's where the joy is really going to come? Come on. Just because you're wearing the shirt today doesn't mean it really is going to make you all that happy just because you're serving. Well, I want you to hear what Jesus said. And so I want you to go with me in the scriptures. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And take a look at what Jesus says. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." You know, there are times where you've read a scripture 100 times and all of a sudden a word just kind of jumps out. Let me tell you, the word that jumped out at me as I was preparing for today was the word "your" in the middle of that. Jesus didn't say that whosoever shall be a great among you shall be my servant. Now, we would have kind of caught that. That would have been like, yeah, I get it. If we're, you know, serving God, being his servant. And I'm not saying that we're not serving the Lord when we become servants of one another, but it puts a whole nother kind of mentality, a whole other angle of looking at it. Jesus wants us to understand that it's once we serve one another, that you serve your fellow man, and you become, they become yours. When we become servants of one another, not just servants of Jesus. You know, when you start talking about being a servant, most of us are like, man, that's just kind of weird. That's, you know, I've been raised to think that, you know, you got to go for it. You know, got to be the head guy, the head honcho, the boss, the top of the heap. That's where it's at. And yet you're trying to tell me servant, because servant and slave, he uses the word slave in there as well. If you want to be first, you got to be a slave of all. And you're like, when we hear those words, I mean, obviously, very negative connotations. And when you hear those words, you think in terms of, you know, those who worked in the cotton fields, picking cotton in the heat of the day before Civil War set people free from that kind of a lifestyle. We think of all of the negative stuff, the abuse, the treatment that was less than human. And we're like, man, there's nothing to be honorable about that. When we think of serving, maybe being a migrant worker who's out in the fields and they're picking the fruits and the vegetables, and you're like, really? That's just not really what I picture when I think about happiness and joy and success. I want, over the next few weeks, we're moving into a sermon series that we're calling Improving Your Serve. And I really hope that what I can help to communicate is that the greatest joy that you're ever going to experience is not when you try to serve yourself. The greatest joy you're ever going to experience really comes when you learn what it is to serve other people. The greatest fulfillment, the greatest satisfaction in life. There are people who have obtained masses of wealth and all kinds of stuff, and they look at it all and they're just still empty inside. And it doesn't satisfy. And then there are these people who have very little of anything, but they've learned what it is to serve. And they're some of the happiest, most joy-filled people you'll ever meet. And so we're going to talk about what it is to improve our serve. And when we're talking about that, we could talk about improving how we serve God. We can talk about how we improve our service to one another within the body of Christ, how we minister to one another, serve one another within the body, but then also, how do we serve the world that we're living in? Because, see, service isn't just something that's a job duty, an assignment. You know, you're on the roster of a certain team in the church, and you show up, and you do your job, and you punch your clock, and, yeah, I served today. Thank God for those who are willing to do that. We need more and more. But it's not just coming to the church and doing it. It's having this attitude, this heart that recognizes everywhere I go and everybody that I meet, I'm here to serve. I truly am here to serve. And when I find the joy that comes from that, I'm going to have a peace like I never known. Improving your serve. When I was back in high school and college, I know it might be hard to believe looking at me now, some 40 years later, but I used to be a decent tennis player. I lettered in high school in tennis, lettered in college in tennis. Had a winning record overall. Like maybe I won one more game than all the games that I lost, but you know, it was a winning record. We'll take it, right? But enjoyed playing. I was not the natural athlete. And that part you're probably not having a hard time believing. And in fact, those of you who were athletes and on your team, you had those natural athletes that they never really had to try hard. You know, they just came natural, came easy. Didn't you just kind of hate those people? Different subject, forget it, forgive me. I guess I'm still growing. I need some forgiveness in my life. But I had to work hard. I had to put in a little extra effort. I had to, you know, give it everything that I had. And I know in tennis, one of the things that was really important that gets the whole game started is the serve. And if you double fault, I mean, you lose the points. You give it up. You never got a chance. If you can get the ace, I mean, you get that quick point right off the bat. And so we worked really hard on improving our serve. And I think within the church world, there's a sense in which we need to work on improving our serve. How do we serve one another? How do we serve God? How do we serve our community? And that's really one I want to focus on. You know, I was just on vacation But a couple of years ago, we were on vacation, and we were on a cruise ship, and I remember I got ready to get on an elevator, and there was a sign on the elevator that said, "Sorry, I'm not working. In the meantime, check with my buddy across the hall." And sure enough, behind me was another set of elevators that were working. And as I thought about that sign, I thought, you know, there's a lot of people wearing signs like that. And said, "Sorry, I ain't working. I'm not here to help you. I'm not here to do anything. I'm just here. And more than anything else, I need somebody to work on me. I need somebody to help me. If you really need something, check with that other guy." You know, in the world, we've got this thing called the 80-20 principle. It says that about 20% of the people get about 80% of the work done. And some of you in this room are some of those 20%ers. You're some of those ones who are, you know, you're always there. You always show up. You always give your best. You're 110% in, helping out every way you can. Some of you wear so many hats, sometimes you get confused as to what it is that you're doing today. You know, I know I'm supposed to be there, and there's something I'm supposed to do, but what is it? I'll get reminded later on. And then there are those in the church who, you know, not so much. They're wearing that sign. "I'm not working. I'm just kind of here." Check with one of those 20% people who are getting 80% of it done. And my hope is that if you are already involved in our church, you're already serving in our church, that you will feel appreciated. You'll feel thanked. You'll know how much that we value you, and we really truly do. We recognize that all the things that happen in this church. I mean, already this year, there's been about 75 folks that have already come to Jesus in our church this year. Isn't that right? But listen, it didn't all happen right here. It didn't happen while Pastor Tommy was doing it all. Some of it happened with Pastor Sean and the youth. Some of it happened with Pastor Angel in the children's department. Some of it happened with Pastor Edgar in our Hispanic ministry. Some of it happened in the storehouse ministry. There's all kinds of different ways in Celebrate Recovery that we're reaching out and touching a lot of people. You're making a huge difference in a lot of lives. And we just say thank you for that. But then there's always, I just tell you, it's common for me to hear, "We just need some more help. We could just do so much more if we just had some more help." And so if you're kind of sitting on the sidelines, and sometimes we're on the sidelines because we've had an injury, and we're kind of sidelined for a little bit, and we're healing. But as soon as we get healed, it's like, "Okay, coach, I'm ready. Put me back in the game." And maybe some of you have been kind of on the sidelines for whatever purpose, whatever reason. Maybe, you know, you just got burned out. You got whatever. But you found the healing. You've got that second win. You're like, "Coach, put me back in the game. Man, we're ready to put you in and let you serve and help us any place where you feel like that the Lord's gifted you." And in fact, that's part of my philosophy. Our philosophy of ministry is we don't want to just shove square pegs into round holes. You know, like, "Okay, you hate kids. No problem. Still serve in the nursery. We need somebody today." You know, that's really not how we want to do it. You love kids? Hey, we've got a place for you. You love youth? Hey, we got a place for you. You're gifted in music? We've got a place for you. You can frame a camera shot? Hey, we got a place for you. You love people and you got a warm, welcoming smile? We've got a place for you where you can fit in, where you can serve. And it's not unnatural, it's natural. And when you're serving in a place where you know that God has called you to serve, there's joy in that. There's joy in that. There's fulfillment in that. You walk out and you're going, "Man, you know, thank you, Jesus, that I got a chance to do that today." So we just want to help you through this series to find your place and to improve your serve. You know, most of us know Romans 8:28 that says, that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. But do you know what Romans 8:29 says? Because it's just as important. It says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." What that is saying is that God's got a plan and a purpose for every one of you in this place. And that is that you are conformed to the image of his son. What is the image of his son? What is the image of Jesus? And Jesus answered that for us in Mark chapter 10 when he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." He came to serve and to give. Come on, say that out loud with me. He came to serve and to give. Say it again. He came to serve and to give. And you are to be conformed into what? Into the image of his son. And so therefore, you should be doing what? Serve and to give. That's what we've been called to do. That's where the joy comes. I want to tell you about Jesus. Jesus accomplished a lot of great things. How many of you would agree with that? He didn't do any of it just for himself. You don't find Jesus tooting his own horn. You don't find Jesus doing things because it just makes him feel better. You find Jesus serving other people. That's what he's doing all the time. He's healing somebody else. He's setting somebody free. He's raising somebody from the dead. He's feeding somebody. He's always ministering, serving other people. Even when he died on the cross, it's not because it made him feel good. It was he was serving us. That's what made Jesus great. He served us. He had that heart, and he loved us enough to give that sacrificial service. And so that's what we have been challenged and called to do. And there's nothing more refreshing, I guess you could say, than to see somebody who could have a celebrity mindset, but instead they've adopted a servant mindset. I'm reminded of a number of years ago, Kevin Durant. Oklahoma folks remember Kevin Durant when he was in his glory days here at the Thunder. You know, he went on to less green pastures, right? One of his nicknames was the Slim Reaper. I mean, like, he's 6'10", I think. You know, big, tall, thin basketball player. Very, very gifted. Very, very talented. One of the best in the NBA. And he was being interviewed, and he was being asked about his nickname, the Slim Reaper. And he's like, I'm really not so much into that nickname. So, well, what kind of nickname would you want? Like, Durantula? And that's not really what I want to go with either. So, what's your nickname? He said, well, just call me the servant. Just call me the servant. And the reporter was a little taken aback by that. Like, you know, come on, the servant, really? I mean, you're the big star, the servant, what? And he kept pressing, and finally Durant said, I just like to serve everybody. My teammates, the ushers at the game, the fans, I just want to serve. And you hear somebody like that who's achieved greatness by our standards, but who really understood that what really mattered is how he served others. Jesus is a great example of that, as I've already said. And let me just point you to one other person, the Apostle Paul, who also got it. He understood what it meant to really be a servant as well. You know, when you think of the Apostle Paul, you think of somebody who is, you know, great and powerful, and certainly, I mean, Paul in the Bible stands out like head and shoulders above pretty much everybody else except for Jesus. He's, you know, like, really wrote like half of the New Testament, just powerful leader in the church. You think of him as the kind of guy that was like the battleship that just comes driving in, and I'm Paul, and I'm here to take charge, and you do this, and you do that, and, you know. But when you look at the writings of Paul, you realize that wasn't his attitude at all. That wasn't how other people perceived Paul at all. In fact, Paul would write in his letters, and he would introduce himself. He'd write this letter to whoever, and he said, Paul. And then he would say, a servant of Jesus Christ. Paul. He would even use the term, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. He's like, it's not about me. It's all about Jesus. And I'm just here to serve others. And there are three things that I just want to briefly point out, and I'm going to wrap up the message this morning. Three things real quickly about Paul that I think that we can emulate as well as we take on this attitude of serving how we can improve our serve. Number one, he demonstrated a transparent humanity. Transparent humanity. Paul did not have the look, if you will, of the typical modern megachurch pastor. He would not have been stuck in front of the camera. They'd have said, dude, you, what was it Sean said earlier about the face for radio? You know, that would have been Paul. Paul, you got the face for radio, and we're not putting you in front of the cameras. Paul embraced his weaknesses. He admitted them. He didn't try to cover them over. See, a lot of us, we want to hide our weakness. We want to put on this bold face like, I've got it all together, you know. You know what I'm talking about. Most of you came to church that way. You know, putting on your best face and, you know, how are you doing today, brother? Oh, I'm doing great. How are you doing? Right? We learn to do that. Oh, I'm speaking by faith. Yeah, a lot of us are really speaking by a lot of faith. When we say, oh, I'm doing great. Hallelujah. Paul was honest about his weaknesses. He was transparent about it. He's like, dude, I don't have it all together. I know you don't think about that when you think about Paul. You're thinking, wait a minute. You're talking about somebody else in the Bible. Surely you got this wrong. No, listen to what Paul says about himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, and when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. Wow. Paul. Dude, I thought you were the guy that had it all together, and you're coming in weakness and fear and much trembling. I mean, who admits that? Somebody with transparent humanity. Somebody who understands that the secret to serving Jesus and serving other people doesn't mean that I've got to have it all together. I want to free you from that right now. If you're thinking that the reason why I can't serve and the reason why I can't do is because I just don't have my life together good enough yet, I want to tell you, you don't have to have it all together. You don't have to be some perfect Christian. You just got to be willing to get in there and roll up your sleeve and say, I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. What can I do? Flaws and all, warts and all, mistakes and all, failures and all. Yeah, last week I messed up really, really bad, but I'm here to serve today. You see, that's the attitude. You say, well, you know, maybe Paul was being a little bit modest when he says this about fear and trembling and all of that. Well, it wasn't just what Paul said about himself. You ought to hear what other people were saying about Paul. In fact, Paul's honest enough to admit it. Listen to what he writes in 2 Corinthians 10 and 10. These are what people said about Paul. His letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive and his speech contemptible. Now, wouldn't you like to have that written on your Facebook page? Yeah, okay, he writes pretty good. But if you ever met the person in person, you know, they're unimpressive and their speech is contemptible. He's a preacher by living, you know, and yet he's not this great oratory guy. He's unimpressive. Paul is honest enough to admit that. And yet through that, he still became this great man of God. I want you to get that today, because the enemy wants to beat us up and point out all our frailties and our faults and our flaws and the mistakes in our life and I'm not this and I'm not that and I'm not good enough. And Paul would say, don't worry about it. I wasn't good enough either. But look what Jesus did when I just surrendered to him and took the heart of a servant and began to serve his body. Some of you know who Chuck Swindoll is. He's a pastor and a writer. And this is his description of Paul. He says that Paul was a man of moderate stature with curly hair and scanty, crooked legs, protruding eyeballs, large knit eyebrows, a long nose and thick lips. Again, doesn't sound like the guy you're going to put in front of the camera, right? We know that he had some faulty eyesight. Some people suggested he was hunchback. You know what? I bet the guy didn't even wear skinny jeans. And yet God used him. And God can use you too if you're willing to be a servant. If you're willing to just bow down, bend your knee, and wash somebody's feet. Secondly, Paul demonstrated genuine humility. Genuine humility. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, "And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." What a confession for a preacher again. My preaching's not that great. My oratory skills, my ability, my wisdom is not that great. But Paul says, but here's the deal. I don't have to be great because Jesus is. And it's not about me anyhow, because I'm not the one that's going to change your life. I'm not the one that's going to transform you. I'm not the one that's going to set you free. I'm not the one that's going to raise you up out of the mess that you're in and give you real life. That's Jesus. And so it really doesn't matter if you know much about me, but I want you to know everything I can tell you about Jesus. There was a humility that he had that made him powerful in his service. You know, you might ask yourself a couple of questions, a humility test, if you will, such as, do I get a non-defensive spirit when I'm confronted? If somebody says, hey, man, you messed up, you go, no, I didn't. I didn't mess up. Or do you go, hey, wait a minute, maybe I did. Maybe I did. Maybe I could have said that better. Maybe I could have done that better. A humility about us. I could be wrong. I have been wrong. I will be wrong again. So I'm accountable. How about this one? Is there an authentic desire to help others? Humility, not about I'm going to serve other people. Other people got to serve me, but I'm here to serve others. You know, sometimes even in the church world, we see people who had this air about them, this celebrity air about them, that's like, I'm good and I'm great and I've written these songs and I've written these books and I've preached to thousands of people. So when I come to your church, I want you to have the green room set up just right. Have y'all heard of the green room? The green room, you know, where the featured person sits off stage. They don't come into the worship service. And, God forbid that. No, I'll show up when it's time for me to do my part. In the meantime, I want this kind of grapes and this kind of oranges, and don't you put that Sam's water in the room. I want the Perrier or whatever it is, you know? No, humility. Humility. I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. Then thirdly and finally, Paul demonstrated absolute honesty. Absolute honesty. Listen to what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So you can see we were not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery. You ever been around people with impure motives? Ever been around somebody who had their own agenda, their own axe to grind? They would say one thing just to get in the door so that they could do whatever else. Paul's like, no. This being truthful, being honest, being real with you guys. No deceit, no impure motives, no trickery. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our heart. Lord, help us to have that honesty, that integrity about us. Part of that is admitting when we're wrong. Part of it's repenting and getting it right. And then saying, hey, I'm here to serve. Would you stand with me this morning? I believe that there's room in all of us to improve our serve. And again, I want to thank those of you who are already serving in our church. You've already got that servant heart, that servant attitude. Praise the Lord. We congratulate you. Thank you for you who make ministry happen here at Spirit Life Church. But as I shared before, if you're not plugged in yet, if you haven't found that place, I'd encourage you. You know, just come talk to us. Talk to the pastoral staff. We'll help you to find a place where you can serve with honesty, with humility, humbly, even with the imperfections that you have in your life. And as you begin to do that and pour out your life to others, you're going to find a joy that you didn't know was happening, even possible. You're going to find a sense of fulfillment that you're like, why wasn't I doing this a long time ago? Father, Lord, help us to be the servants that you've called us to be. Lord, help us to achieve greatness in your kingdom, not by proclaiming our own name, but by humbling ourselves and just serving Jesus. Let us, like Paul, identify, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I am a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to serve. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe there's some who are here who you've not yet become a servant of Jesus Christ. You've not become that bond slave, that you've committed your life wholly and completely to Him. And what you need to do is become a servant. You need to become a Christian. You need to become a member of the body of Christ. And that's the beginning of your service journey, becoming a servant of the Most High God. And today is the day for you to make that decision. The Holy Spirit drew you here, and you know that your life needs to change. You're looking for meaning. You're looking for purpose. You're looking for hope. You're looking for joy. You're looking for fulfillment. You're looking for happiness. I want to tell you where it's found. It's found only in Jesus Christ. He's the answer. He's the solution. And if you're here this morning and you know that you need to surrender your life to Him and make Him the Lord of your life, truly the Lord of your life, and you're ready to become a Christian today, a follower of Jesus today, you're ready to start that journey today, I'd love to pray with you. Would you just raise your hand right where you are? I'd like to know who you are. I'd like to know who I'm praying for today. Thank you, thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. I see another hand. Is there anybody else this morning? Anybody else this morning? I know that I want to start this Jesus journey, and I'm ready to do it today. Would you raise your hand? It's about three or four who raised their hands here this morning. Here's what I want us to do. I want to pray a prayer, and then I want to ask you at the close of this prayer to join our prayer team who's going to be up front. We want to give you some material that's going to help you to get started right in your walk with the Lord. So here's what I want you to do. If you raise your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now out loud. Everybody in this room, why don't we just all do that together? Let's just pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I confess to you that I am broken and I need a healing. I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I'm asking you, Jesus, knowing that you died on the cross for me, to forgive me of all my sin. Come into my life, be my Lord and my Savior. Help me to walk the Jesus journey. Help me to live for you for the rest of my life. Help me to be a servant of the Most High God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing and answering my prayer. Thank you for saving me today. Thank you for giving me a brand new start in life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, let's rejoice today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want our prayer team, if you'll come and join me down to the front. We're closing the service right now. Prayer team, come join me at the front. And if you need prayer for anything, it could be that you raised your hand saying, I'm ready to start the Jesus journey. Would you come? We want to meet you. We want to put some stuff in your hands that's going to really help you in this Jesus journey and help you in your walk with the Lord. So I encourage you, would you step out and come? But if you need prayer for anything, we're here to pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you today. Thank you for these who have made the decision to follow Jesus today. Thank you for those, Lord, who are determined, I'm going to improve my serve. Lord, where do you want to use me? How can I be a blessing to others? Lord, give us the direction. Show us, Lord, plant us where you want us to plant so, Lord, that we can bloom in the way you designed us to bloom. And Lord, for all that you do, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you today.